When you think of magpies, the first thing that comes to mind is probably swooping, or Collingwood if you're more into football than walking around outside. This dangerous protective method of the bird projects an image of hostility and fear, and it's understandable that many people are afraid of them, but perhaps they are simply misunderstood. Joining us now is Gisella Kaplan, Professor of Animal Behaviour at the University of New England. Good morning, Gisella.
Good morning, Tom.
So, I read your article and I'm wondering, how can we actually befriend a magpie?
Well, that has happened quite commonly for many people all over Australia. You know, the magpie really is an iconic bird, and it's very long-lived, and then settles in a territory. And if that coincides with a person's property or a family's property, then friendships develop quite readily. And that is when adult magpies, build their nests. They actually assess risk. So they're not aggressive birds and they're not nasty birds, and they don't do things because they want to be aggressive and nasty. All they want to do is have relative safety for their offspring at the vulnerable period of time when the female is brooding and can't do anything about it, and when the nestlings are very young. So they assess the people and the animals around them, and if they think they're okay, that's when they build their nest. And that's why people in have nests in their own backyard don't get swooped. And so you can treat magpies as totally separate things that just happen to flutter about on your property, and because you're part of the furniture, so to speak. Or in some cases, some people do feed them occasionally, and then it's like forming a friendship, and they will actually quite often volunteer to become friends and introduce their own young formally to the back porch and say it's okay to interact with these people. They will also judge your pet dog and see whether that's a safe one, and in some cases they form friendships and play with the pet dog.
So can you befriend magpies outside your own home?
Well, you can. It depends on the circumstances. It always depends where you were at the time of their nest building, and whether the magpies had a chance to actually get to know you as an individual. And here comes the crux. We only know now that magpies recognize individual human faces. Now, that may not sound terribly grand because we recognize each other, but just imagine the other way around when you have five kookaburras sitting on your balcony. Can you honestly tell the difference between them? If one comes back the next day, do you know, was it the one on the left or the middle or the right, or even whether it was a male or a female? So there is an assumption we have quite often about birds that we sort of anonymously treat them as a group, not as Joe, not as Charlie, not as Emily, but as an anonymous thing that we deal with. But magpies are capable, not only in their own group, of course, they recognize individuals, but they recognize human faces and in your personalities and their clothes. So from that point of view, they can form individual friendships. So that's quite a discovery. But I also remember, have a very good memory of past events. So you can't get away with mistreating them and then hope you can sneak past in future years. They will always know you did something wrong. They should be employed by the police, frankly.
Do other Australian birds possess these recognition skills?
Well, let me put it this way. I've studied magpies now for 25 years, and every time I thought it was a three-year project and then I finished and discovered new things, I am sure there are many Australian species where the same might well apply. Certainly a pair of drongos that we've had for a long time gives the impression, and certain bowerbirds give the impression. Certainly we know from pet birds, particularly most parrots, that they do make those give these possibilities that they actually distinguish between individuals. And we know of a study in America that ravens can do that too. But it may not be all that many, so this is a very, very special ability. And you need the memory as well to store that somewhere and then say, haven't I met you before? And if you've met somebody before and you've been good to them, they won't swoop. So I don't get swooped.
We're speaking with Professor Gisela Kaplan from the University of New England about the practice of befriending magpies. Now, you've been studying them for 25 years. I assumed you've used some of your own tricks to win over, tricks and tips to win over some feathered friends.
Well, in the former research environment, when we sort of said this is our research field because there's a stable magpie population there, no, we don't do any provisioning. But I've been guilty of that when magpies were in our own backyard. But, you know, as with all friendships, when you form friendships, you don't feed your friends all the time, do you? You may go to an afternoon tea, or you may go to a barbecue, or you may have them over for dinner, but not on a daily basis. And the magpies will also repay in kind. I mean, not only introducing them, but they will volunteer to even play with you. And in one or two cases, I've known that magpies actually may have saved human life. And in instances, let's say, their perception and their knowledge of snakes and the danger of snakes is better than human, particularly in long grass. And in one case in Brisbane, the magpie started alarm calling and started swooping the human with whom they had been friends for years. And finally he looked down and found that there was, in fact, a king brown snake, and had he walked forward, he could have been bitten.
Wow. It's a fascinating story. But are there some magpies that, like some humans, just don't want to get along?
Well, the problem is that if they, and more magpies, of course, are forced into these few enclaves of public parks, and they no longer can choose freely where they nest. And when they are in public parks, they see these new faces all the time, and they don't know them. And it's the male's job to protect the nest, and if there's anybody new in a territory, he has to do something. So what I do is usually stop when somebody, some magpie, does a trial swoop. They don't attack. They try to warn, you're getting a bit too close to my nest. So then I may go away a little bit over the other side of the road, and then I actually look at them. And in cases where there's been a lot of conflict, I may take a bit of mincemeat with me and say, look, I've got this here, and I'm going to put this there. And then I stand still, said, I mean you no harm. And the magpie actually looks at me from side to side, looks at the mincemeat, and thinks, well, perhaps she ain't too bad, and would run swoop again.
Is that the recommended course of action, say, if you're visiting?
Well, that's one that's worked for me, and it might not be very useful in all on all occasions, and because when you're on a bike and you're rushed to work, you don't want to do that every time, but giving it a wide berth may tell the magpie too that you're kind enough to have noticed the warning, and he can relax a bit. You see, the magpie male is under a lot of stress from his missus. If he isn't performing, she may throw him out. So imagine that. You can probably appreciate that, Tom. The expectation of male performance in a marriage.
With that little note, I think we'll have to leave you there. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Professor Kaplan.
It's a great pleasure.
That was Gisela Kaplan, Professor of Animal Behaviour at the University of New England. You can read her full article on how to befriend a magpie at theconversation.com/au.